Let us pray. Spirit of God, show us and guide us through your word now how we may love and encourage one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, you may be seated. You know, friends, so far in our series on the book of Acts, we have looked at quite a number of amazing individuals. In Acts chapter 6, we saw Stephen, the first martyr. In Acts chapter 8, we saw Philip, the great evangelist. And in Acts chapter 9, we have Saul, the violent aggressor who became the valiant apostles. And then in Acts chapter 10, we have Peter, the great preacher who had previously preached so boldly to the Jews, the religious leaders, and now in this chapter to the Gentiles. There's a bit of feedback. Right, thanks. And that was where we left off. And today we continue with Acts chapter 11. And here we have another amazing individual by the name of Barnabas. Now, Barnabas first appeared in Acts chapter 4, and over there we are told that his real name was Joseph. And it was the apostles, not any Tom, Dick, or Harry, but the apostles who gave him this name, Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Now, surely Barnabas must have been so notable for encouraging others that the apostles felt it was most suitable to confer this name or this title to him. And I believe all of us will agree with the apostles as we take a closer look at Barnabas and his ministry of encouragement, particularly from our passage today. But friends, more than just knowing how Barnabas lived up to his name, today we want to see how all of us here can also live up to this name. Now, of course, not all of us are named Barnabas. In fact, out of curiosity, who is named Barnabas? Oh, we have one. Good. So far, all the other services, when I tried to ask, nobody raised up their hands. So you are the first Barnabas I know in Cathedral. But it is quite an uncommon name, isn't it? But you see, my friends, this ministry, even though all of us are not called Barnabas, but this ministry of encouragement, it's not just given to Barnabas or to those who are born encouragers, but this is a ministry entrusted to all believers in Christ. Look with me at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, and Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. The context of these verses has to do with the day of the Lord, the day of His return. And what we as believers are specifically instructed to do until the return of Jesus Christ is this: keep encouraging one another. So all of us here are called to be sons and daughters of encouragement as well. So today we are not only going to learn about Barnabas, but let's learn from Barnabas how we can be involved in this ministry of encouragement. And there are three things that I wish to highlight concerning this matter from our passage today. And the first has to do with how Barnabas sees. You know, in verse 23, when Barnabas came to Antioch, he saw the grace of God. Now, I'm not sure if this would have been the same perception if someone else from Jerusalem had been sent to Antioch. Why do I say that? Well, firstly, because of the kind of place Antioch was. One commentary describes Antioch as such. It was a place, it was mighty in influence and magnificence, fabulous in wealth, strategic in position, cosmopolitan in atmosphere, corrupt in morals, idolatrous in practice, and predominantly Greek in population. In other words, Antioch was known to be a wealthy, worldly, and wicked city. Her bad reputation was known even as far as Rome. And one of the first century Roman poets, Juvenal, lamented that Rome had become so decadent because of all the filth that poured into it from Antioch. So it is easy for someone from Jerusalem to actually feel rather disgusted by the ungodliness in Antioch than to expect anything good to come out of this city. Now, secondly, the Jews considered Gentiles to be unclean people, and any kind of interaction with them should be avoided. And this is why at the start of Acts chapter 11, when the apostles and brothers throughout Judea heard what Peter had done at Cornelius' house, they criticized him and said to him, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." So for revival to happen with a large group of Gentiles in a place like Antioch would have caused much concern, especially to the church in Jerusalem. And that is why someone from Jerusalem had to be sent over to Antioch to have a look, to check what is happening, what is actually happening over there. And I think whoever is sent on such a mission to Antioch, the natural tendency is to perceive the situation with much skepticism, suspicion, and negativity. The tendency is to look out for the flaws, the weaknesses, the issues, the imperfections. The tendency is to be critical and judgmental. But not so with Barnabas. What captured Barnabas' attention immediately when he reached Antioch was the grace of God. I like how the Message Bible translated this. It says, as soon as Barnabas arrived, he saw that God was behind and in it all. Barnabas was able to perceive what God was doing, even in a place like Antioch, even in the lives of the Gentiles. John Piper commented, Barnabas had eyes to look beyond the imperfections of a church that had just been planted and could see the grace of God. Not everyone can see the tokens of God's grace in the lives of the saints, especially the newer saints. But Barnabas could, and that is why he had such a remarkable gift for encouragement. Piper continued to say this, Barnabas saw living embers of grace that he wanted to fan into flame, where others might see only the ashes of imperfection. Friends, this was how Barnabas saw the grace of God when he came to Antioch. This was the same way how Barnabas saw the people around him as well, including Saul. Barnabas saw God's wonderful grace at work in Saul's life. That is why in verse 25, Barnabas went all the way to Tarsus to look for Saul, because he believed Saul could do a better job than him in building up the church in Antioch. Everyone else would have probably disagreed with Barnabas. Everyone else would have perceived Saul in a rather negative light. In fact, back in Acts chapter 9, when Saul came to Jerusalem after his conversion, the disciples did not believe that he could really be a disciple of Christ. But Barnabas saw God's grace in Saul's life right from the beginning. That is why he took Saul in when no one else would, and he even brought Saul to the apostles. But unfortunately, he wasn't quite accepted in Jerusalem, and therefore Saul was sent to Tarsus. Now later on, this was how Barnabas sees another person by the name of Mark. Barnabas also saw God's grace in Mark's life. Despite Mark's failure, which made Paul so determined to pull him out of ministry, Barnabas took him instead. He discipled him because he could see what God was doing in and through Mark's life. Now, perhaps at this point, some of you may be thinking that this is a special ability that God has given to Barnabas, but not to me. The ability to see God's grace in every situation and in every person. But my friends, I wish to say that, or I believe that this is more likely a choice rather than a special ability. Barnabas chose to see what God could be doing, regardless of how bad the situation or a person may be. Barnabas chose to look out for God's grace more than just the flaws, weaknesses, issues, and imperfections. Now, this is not about being optimistic or being ignorant of what is happening on the ground. This is about trusting God and His sovereign power to fulfill His good and perfect plan in every situation. And this is what all of us as believers should choose to do as well. This is how you and I can encourage others, even in the most helpless or hopeless situation, when we choose to see God's grace, when we choose to see what God could be doing in all circumstances. My friends, how do you perceive the situations that you may be in today? How do you see the people around you today? Are you fixated on the issues, the flaws, the imperfections that may often impede us from encouraging others? Sometimes, in fact, this may also be the cause of disappointment, dissension, and division. Or will you choose to set your eyes on God's grace, set your eyes to see what God could be doing, and encourage others to come alongside with you and see what God is doing as well? Now, the second thing we can learn from Barnabas is what he says in his encouragement to the believers in Antioch. In verse 23, he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. Now, I'm quite sure Barnabas's exhortation did not just contain these few words. However, these few words very likely summarize all that Barnabas has said to them. These few words reveal to us the main point in his encouragement to the believers in Antioch, and that is to remain 100% devoted to Jesus no matter what. Now, this doesn't sound like the easiest thing to do, even for us today. What more for the Gentile believers who were living in a city like Antioch and very much accustomed to its culture and with all its ungodly practices? To remain 100% devoted to Jesus no matter what didn't sound like the most comforting or the most motivating or encouraging words that will make the believers in Antioch feel good. But my friends, it was the most important thing they needed to hear. And therefore, Barnabas encouraged them with those words. You know, often we think of encouragement as saying something nice or positive that will make people feel good about themselves or about the situation. Sometimes this is what I hope to hear from my wife when I share with her certain problems that I face at work, especially when it comes to working with Reverend Moses. That was meant to be a joke. But instead of just saying something nice to make me feel better, my wife would often say something that would correct my perception or attitude and redirect my focus on God. In other words, my wife would often just give me a scolding. She would give me the encouragement that I need rather than the encouragement that I want. Someone defines encouragement as such. To encourage is to communicate truth. Communicate truth to another believer with the intent to minister comfort and/or exhortation according to that believer's need. If a believer is experiencing trial or difficulty, then comfort would be the predominant note of the encouragement. But if a believer is passing through a time of carelessness or spiritual slothfulness, then exhortation or correction will be the predominant note of the encouragement. Or it may be that a believer will stand in need of exhortation and comfort. You know, this was how Paul and Barnabas continued to encourage the believers in Antioch later on in Acts chapter 14, verse 22. They did not just say nice things for them to hear, but they encouraged them by telling them the truth and saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. That, of course, didn't sound like an encouragement to us the first time we hear this, but that was the truth that might encourage the believers in Antioch. Paul and Barnabas did not encourage the believers by telling them what they wanted to hear, but by telling them the truth of God. True encouragement comes from God and from His truth. True encouragement will direct us to find real hope and comfort in the gospel. So my friends, how are we encouraging one another today? Apart from just saying nice things or positive things to one another, will we also learn to say the truth to one another so that we may point them to God, to His truth, that will bring true encouragement, that will bring true comfort and hope that they need. The third and final thing that we can learn from Barnabas today is to whom Barnabas submits in his life and his ministry of encouragement. And this is in verse 24, which tells us that Barnabas was full of the Holy Spirit. Barnabas submits himself fully to the Holy Spirit. So far in the book of Acts, we have seen many descriptions of people being full of the Spirit or being filled with the Spirit. But what does this really mean? Well, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, Paul helps us to understand how being filled with the Spirit is not about how much of the Spirit we have, but rather how much of us does the Spirit has. You know, as believers in Christ, all of us have 100% of the Holy Spirit's presence with us today. But to be filled with the Spirit means to be increasingly conformed to the Holy Spirit. It means submitting ourselves more and more and more to the influence and leading of the Holy Spirit. I came across an analogy that I hope will be helpful for us to understand this point. So imagine you want every room in your house to be painted white. And imagine you already have a painter standing in the living room ready to paint. But the problem is that some of the rooms are locked. Now the solution is not to invite the painter to come to your house a second time. The solution is not to invite the painter to somehow be even more present than he already is. What is needed is for the doors, all the doors to be unlocked so that the painter can work in all the other rooms and have the whole house painted white. For someone like Barnabas, who is full of the Spirit, it means that Barnabas probably had all the doors in his life unlocked for the Spirit to work in and through his life. Barnabas was someone who is learning to submit every aspect of his life to the influence and the leading of the Holy Spirit. That is how he was being full of the Holy Spirit. That is how Barnabas could see God's grace at work in every situation and in every person, because he submits himself entirely to the Spirit's leading. That is how Barnabas could speak the hard truth that brings real encouragement and comfort, because he was being led by the Spirit. Friends, I find great comfort in knowing that Barnabas' ability to be such a great encouragement or such a great encourager has nothing to do with his personality or his communication skills, but rather it has everything to do with the Holy Spirit who is at work in and through him. And this is a great encouragement, because the same Spirit who was with Barnabas is also with me and with you today. The same Holy Spirit can also enable each one of you to bring true encouragement in every situation and to every person in need. It doesn't matter if you are an introvert or extrovert, or if you are good at talking or whatsoever, because you have the Holy Spirit who can enable you to bring that word of encouragement to someone. Question is, will you let the Holy Spirit to do that? Will you submit yourself to the Spirit's leading? Will you unlock all the doors in your life so that you may be filled and be full of the Holy Spirit like Barnabas and be the encourager that God is calling you to be? My friends, you and I don't have to sign up and express our interest to serve in the ministry of encouragement. All the other ministries in Cathedral, you probably have to do that, but not with this ministry of encouragement, because by default, you and I are already in this ministry. You and I are called to encourage one another all the more as the day of the Lord approaches. And as believers in Christ, all of us have also fully met the prerequisite of this ministry, and that is to have the Holy Spirit. That is all you need, and you have it. So, my friends, for us today, the Holy Spirit is able to make us amazing encouragers for His encourager for His purpose. And today we have the chance to understudy Barnabas and see what it means to encourage others. So what is left for us to do now is to put all that we have heard, into practice. And so I want to end by asking you this question. Who is the Holy Spirit calling you to encourage today? Is there someone in your family whom you can encourage today? You know, sometimes it is so easy to overlook our own families, but they need your encouragement as well. And is there someone in the church family who needs your encouragement? Someone who may be experiencing trial or difficulty and need your comfort? Or someone who may be going through a time of carelessness or spiritual slothfulness? Someone who also needs our exhortation, our correction as a form of encouragement? And friends, is there someone in your community, in your neighborhood, perhaps a non-believer whom you can encourage today as well? You never know how the Holy Spirit might use you and your encouragement to bring that person to the Lord. You know, Barnabas followed the Spirit's leading. He went to Antioch. He didn't do much there but just encourage the people. And we are told at the end of the day, a great number of people were brought to the Lord. The passage doesn't mention that Barnabas was the direct cause of this exponential growth, but I'm quite sure somehow through Barnabas and through his encouragement, the Spirit did something in the congregation and in Antioch, and the church grew. Friends, the same Holy Spirit can do that as well through you and through your encouragement to others today. So who is the Holy Spirit calling you to encourage in your family, in the church, in the community? Let us pray. Father, teach us to be sensitive to the leading and the voice of the Holy Spirit, especially in this matter of encouragement. We pray that, Lord, we may be led by your Spirit to encourage someone, not just today, but every day of our lives. Open our eyes to see your grace at work. Open our eyes to see the opportunities given so that we may bring that word of encouragement to someone, so that we may point someone to you and to the real hope that you are able to give. So help us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.